Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. I'm Frank Roche. Good to have you along this week. Joined by a regular guest, Tim Meneskello with the Better Business Bureau of Indiana. And Tim, how you doing?
Fantastic. How about yourself, Frank?
Not too bad. Hey, real quick, just so I'm thinking about this, I said the Better Business Bureau of Indiana. BBB is a nationwide organization, but how do you guys divvy and divide and slice and dice that all up?
Yeah, well, actually, Better Business Bureau is actually an international organization in that we have Better Business Bureaus, obviously here in the United States, but also in Canada and in Mexico. So we've got some international flavor. But the way we're divided up is we have what we call service areas. Those are geographic designations. And in Indiana, there are actually three Better Business Bureaus. There's one up in Fort Wayne that kind of has that northern tier of counties, one in Evansville that has kind of the southwestern area, and then here in Indianapolis, we are the Better Business Bureau serving central Indiana. So we've got 46 counties in central Indiana. So that's how we're divided up. And we also each have our own local board of directors. So there are local business people who are overseeing and directing each of the local Better Business Bureaus. And we are a not-for-profit organization also.
Yeah, okay. All right. So basically, so your area then for BBB of Central Indiana runs from over here on the state line, Vigo County, all the way across over to all the way over to the Ohio state line then, right? And a lot of space in between.
Yeah, kind of the boundaries kind of go start where you are down in the Terre Haute area, Bloomington, Columbus, up the Ohio line, over Muncie, over to Lafayette. So kind of that middle third of Indiana would be the Better Business Bureau of Central Indiana.
Yeah, okay, all right. Anyway, so let's get into some of the things that you've got to advise us about this time. Of course, coming up shortly, a lot of kids will be graduating, and you guys are kind of concerned about students when it comes to making sure that they check out their colleges and universities before they actually sign up, right?
Yeah, this has to do with both private as well as, or I should say not-for-profit as well as for-profit colleges. There have been over 400 post-secondary or colleges that have actually closed their doors here in the last year or so. So it is something that is happens out there. It's prevalent. So before you go and enroll in some sort of a college program, particularly if it is a for-profit college, you want to really make certain that that place is going to be around for the next several years so you can actually attain a degree from them. There are places that you can go and check. These colleges have certain accreditation services that will accredit them, so you want to check out to see if they are accredited with things like the Accrediting Council for Independent Colleges, ACICS. That's a good place to go check. You also want to check out to see what the Department of Education may have to say about them. They've got different ways that they look at different colleges. But, you know, these for-profit colleges and even some not-for-profit colleges, I know there have been one or two here in Indiana that have actually had to close their doors. So you just want to make certain that you check all that out. These colleges also have credit ratings. If the credit rating doesn't look good, particularly for a for-profit school, you want to check out about that. A lot of these colleges are merging. So, you know, look at that. I think that the big message here for your listeners is if you go and enroll in one of these colleges, you want to actually end up finishing with a degree, and you don't want that college to kind of pull the rug out from under you halfway through the halfway through your college experience. So it's good to just check these out, and you never know, because like I say, 400 colleges have closed their doors nationwide here in the last year or so.
Yeah, I know here locally, it was called Harrison College. Before that, it was Indiana Business College. They just recently closed, and they had locations around the state, including one here in Terre Haute. And then also I know in the Indianapolis area here within the past probably a year or two, I can't remember the exact name, but it was ITT, ITT Technical Institute. They were up on the north side of Indy. Yeah, they closed too.
Yep.
So you got to be careful with that. And some of those kids that were students at these schools, were not necessarily made whole. Some of them lost. So we got to be careful of that. Hey, as we talk about college, that's one thing, but let's talk spring cleaning and spring cleanup. A lot of times, one of the things that you may want to do in the spring, summer months, is give the house, the barn, the bedroom, the living room, whatever, a fresh coat of paint. And hiring a painter is the best way to do it, I think, because I hate painting. but when you hire a painter, you need to make sure you get somebody who's really knows what they're doing. You got to get a good one.
Yeah, like you say, this is the time of year when a lot of people are going to be painting their house, either outside or inside. So you really want to make certain that you do your due diligence. A couple of things here. Number one, just have very clear expectations on what you're supposed to do, what the painter is supposed to do. Color, there's endless number of colors out there, right? So you want to make certain that the color that you pick out and the color that you want that house to be or that room to be is indeed what you're going to end up with. So take a lot of time in talking with the painter about that and understanding exactly what that color is going to be. Also, get an estimate from at least three people, and then have as much detail in that estimate as you possibly can. The more detail you have, the less chance there is going to be for any sort of misunderstandings or disputes at the end of the project. Even things like, is he going to charge you for travel time? Just know that sort of thing up front before you go and sign it. Understand what sort of cleanup is going to be required. Are you going to be able to use the room, or what sort of inconvenience are you going to have when the painter is there? Understand when the job is going to be finished. Are you going to have to stay out of the room because the paint's going to have to dry? A lot of your enamel paints take a fairly long time to set up, so you can go in there and touch something and all of a sudden you've got a big permanent fingerprint on your woodwork or something like that. So you just want to make certain that you do a lot of understanding and asking questions about all that. How many coats is he going to put on? Is it the type of thing where you're going from a dark color to a light color? Hey, one coat is probably not going to cut it as far as painting. What type of prep work do you as the owner have to do? Moving furniture, getting things prepared, any sort of pre-cleaning that you might have to do. If you don't clean the surface that your paint's going to go on, it's probably not going to adhere very well. So, is he going to do that? Are you going to do that? Is there some sort of a prep you're going to do? Another thing you've got to be on the lookout for is if your home was built before 1978 is kind of the cutoff point, there's a possibility that you could have lead paint. Not necessarily saying that you do have lead paint, but that your house could have lead paint in it. There are some additional steps that a painter needs to take if indeed they're going over lead paint. So check that out. Once again, the cutoff date here is kind of 1978. If you've got a house that's older than that, check to see if indeed there is any lead paint in there and be prepared for maybe some additional steps that the painter is going to have to take in order to make certain that he's taking the proper precautions to protect you against the lead paint and exposure from that. And then in the end, before you make that final payment, hold that final payment to the end. He'll probably ask for some money up front, but hold that final payment until you're absolutely satisfied with the paint, the color, the cleanup, everything that went on. Just do your due diligence on that and make certain that you check out that painter. And you can always go to BBB.org and check out painters that we have accredited.
And just remember, if you do your end of the deal right and they do their end of the deal right, then everybody's happy and you've got a nice, pretty house or room when it's all said and done. One of the things that's out there now is a scam that's going on. And I guess several of us, Tim, you and I'm sure could fall victim to this, is when a talent or modeling agency calls and says, hey, you're so good looking, we need to have you. I know I've gotten several of those calls, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna be a star on TV commercials here. Yep.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, they're just looking to get money out of you, not necessarily to make you a star. I can't understand why, but anyway, it's something we need to be on the lookout for because it's a big scam going around.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe the number of calls that we get from parents or whatever who think that their child is going to be, you know, the next great star or the next great hit out there, either TV shows or singing or, you know, advertising products, whatever it might be. So you really want to make certain that you check out a talent agency before you do anything with your child. It's something that a lot of people get sucked into. A couple of things here. Number one, a lot of these talent agencies will ask for money up front. They call them registration fees or administration fees, those types of things. Once again, most legitimate agents are going to work on commission. You know, if your child is truly talented and they get some sort of a job out of it, that talent agent is going to take some sort of percentage out of that, but not until they actually do get a job and not until they actually do get a contract. So be careful of that. A lot of these talent agencies will pressure you to act immediately. They want you to sign a contract immediately. They insist on taking acting lessons at a particular school. Lots of things like that, that once again, you know, they're there to take your money and they're going to tell you how great your child is. But at the end of the day, you know, there is a very, very, very small number of, people who actually quote, make it in this type of thing. So your odds of, getting discovered are extremely small, but these people will tell you, hey, if you take these acting lessons, and if you do this right away, you will, you'll hit stardom. A lot of times they will display pictures of famous models or celebrities, making you think that they have represented them. They may not have necessarily represented those people, so don't get taken in by anything like that. They're also going to use a lot of names of well-known agencies, once again thinking that they're somehow connected with those. Don't be fooled by anything like that. And then watch out for advertisings on Facebook or social media or in newspapers where it says something like, hey, new faces wanted for commercials, movies, modeling, that type of thing, and it'll say no experience necessary. Once again, that is just a come on to get you to contact the agency. They're going to give you their pitch. They're going to try to sell you the acting lessons. They're going to want you to sign a contract. So just be careful because that's the way they are wanting you to contact them, thinking, hey, there's a great opportunity out there.
And the other thing is, too, if all they're going to do is take pictures of your kid or you or whoever, I mean, you can do that yourself. You can go to the BBB website and research photographers in your area and right. find a good photographer and walk in and say, look, here's $500. Take my picture and make me look good. They can do that. You can find legitimate people that'll do that. And then you can submit those pictures wherever you want on your own. You don't necessarily have to have them pay them exorbitant amounts of money to take your picture when they're not going to do much. So, go ahead.
You're exactly right, Frank. Yeah.
Yeah. So keep that in mind out there, you know, and don't get taken advantage of. And remember too, no slam. There's darn few of us that are really that gorgeous that we're,
Frank, though, you're exactly right. The odds, you know, this is kind of like playing the lottery. Yeah, there are people who win, but there are an awful lot of people who spend money and never win a thing. So your chance of winning the talent lottery is really, really, really small.
Yeah, well, so good luck with that. Try not to be taken advantage of. Hey, one other quick thing before we run out of time, 10-Minute Skiller with the Better Business Bureau of Indiana is our guest today, talking about how to keep your money in your pocket and not be scammed. There is a scam alert out there for products. They're free. All you have to do is pay for shipping. And I'm guessing the product's not worth nearly what you have to pay for shipping.
Well, either that or the product doesn't come at all. You'll see a lot of these on social media. They'll say, you know, free this, just pay us $10 and we'll ship it to you. And, Frank, those are just social media sites and websites that they're just trying to get $10 out of you, and they actually don't have anything that they're going to ship to you. So if you see that, particularly these come-on ads on social media, if it's free, you know, once again, just – your red flag should go up. And if they want you to send them $10 for shipping, you're probably just shipping away $10 and you're not going to get anything. Those places typically, either don't send you anything, or like you say, if they send you anything at all, it's obvious why it's free, because no one would actually buy it. We see a lot of those, and most of those are just there to collect your $10 for shipping, and you'll never hear from them again.
And, you know, there's a lot of those things. You see the ads on TV, and this might be something folks can maybe contact you and have you check it out to see if it's really a scam or not. Have you seen those ads on TV? That, you know, hey, get this frying pan. You can basically drive over it with a dump truck, and it's all good. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
And we'll sell it to you for just $19.99. Plus, if you act now, you'll get a second one free. Just pay a separate fee in shipping and handling. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Then it's really not free, is it? You know,
no, and like I say, if you look at those shipping and handling charges, those can be fairly handsome sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they are making some profit off the whole shipping and handling fee that they charge. Those are not small fees when you look at what you're actually paying in total.
And sometimes getting your money back, even though they say money back guarantee, getting your money back can be a lot of work and a really big challenge, too.
Yeah, if you order something, particularly if you order something online, make certain that they've got some sort of actual physical address that you can, you know, contact and go to. If there isn't a physical address, be very, very careful. A lot of times those are websites that originate somewhere outside the country, and your chance of being able to get a hold of them and get a refund or getting any sort of, you know, customer satisfaction is probably pretty low. And there's a reason why they don't put a physical address on their website, because, you know, they may exist in Kathmandu or someplace like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good luck in getting your money back or getting a replacement or, you know, whatever it might be.
And a physical address is not a post office box.
No. Very good point. Good point. Yeah, they need to be located, you know, somewhere that you could actually drive up and go see them if it ever came to that.
Yeah, and better yet, I mean, and if you actually do find a street address somewhere posted for a company that you want to check out, put it in Google and see where Google Maps takes you, you know? And if it takes you to some alley somewhere, then, you know?
Excellent suggestion there. Yeah. Yeah. Google's a great way to check that out. Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I tell you now, of course, Better Business Bureau of Indiana, you guys have an excellent website that has all kinds of info on it. You've got Scam Tracker and a place to report scams, all kinds of good stuff, right?
Right. Just go to BBB.org. It's all free to the public. You can check out trustworthy businesses. And if you have been scammed or want to know what scams are going on in your area, go to scamtracker.org. You can report a scam. You can also see what scams are going on in your area. This is all free to the public. BBB.org, scamtracker.org.
And you can also report advertisements. If you think they are scams, you can actually report those and have you guys check it out, right?
Yes. We want consumers to notify us when they think that there is either just false, misleading, or, you know, advertising that just doesn't look right to them. Please report that to us. We'll check that out, and we want to eliminate that type of advertising. So if you do see advertising that a claim is just simply false, let us know about it.
All right. Again, the website is?
BBB.org or scamtracker.org.
All right. Tim Meniscillo with the Better Business Bureau of Indiana. And if you missed any part of our conversation today, just head on over to our website. It'll be posted there as a podcast. And you can see Tim Meniscillo and his model face posted right there with the playback of this show today. So we invite you to come on by there and check it out. Again, drop by their website too. Thanks for being with us this weekend. We'll see you next weekend right here.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.